Welcome to another AAT podcast, where today I want to discuss the type of work that falls within the construction industry scheme and explain what work is specifically excluded. HMRC's construction industry scheme is a tax deduction scheme, covering payments made by contractors to subcontractors. The scheme requires a tax deduction to be made by a contractor when making a payment to a subcontractor, but only for work that actually comes within the scope of the scheme. It is important to remember that it only applies to work that falls within the scope of the scheme, which is why we need to consider what works are within that scope of construction operations and what works might be excluded. HMRC guidance tells us that the construction industry scheme generally applies to almost any work that is done to a permanent building, a temporary structure, or civil engineering work or installations. Examples of the types of construction work covered by the scheme will include jobs like site preparation, general construction, including bricklaying, roofing, plastering, etc., alterations and extensions, repairs and refurbishment, decorating, dismantling work, and demolition. Construction is a term with a broad meaning that includes building things, making things, putting things together, assembling things. Construction work includes, for example, assembling prefabricated units and site facilities that have been made off-site. The scope of the construction industry scheme and what constitutes construction operations is defined in Section 74 of the Finance Act 2004. There is HMRC guidance available on its website, and we have its booklet, the CIS 340 booklet. In Appendix A, the booklet covers the scope of the construction operations. In Appendix B, we have Section 74 of the Finance Act 2004. And in Appendix C, there is guidance on operations which are included within the scheme or excluded from the scheme. HMRC's Construction Industry Scheme Reform Manual provides more detailed guidance. The Construction Industry Scheme Reform Manual covers topics from artistic works through to fencing, decorating, sign writing, and works forming part of the land, and indeed many other topics that you can look at in more detail on the Revenue website through its manual. The Construction Industry Scheme only applies to construction operations carried out in the United Kingdom and its territorial waters. The scheme does not apply to work outside the UK, so that a UK company working, say, in the Channel Islands does not have to operate the scheme on payments made for the work done in the Channel Islands. Conversely, a foreign company which is carrying out construction operations in the UK or supplying labour to carry out construction operations within the UK must operate the construction industry scheme. Work that is specifically excluded from the construction industry scheme includes the following: professional work, like architect services, which I will discuss separately; the hire of scaffolding, where no labour is provided. Scaffolding with labour would be within the scheme. Fire alarm installation, carpet fitting, but not any other type of flooring. Manufacturing things like windows, blinds and shutters, where the manufacturing is done off-site and the work does not include the fitting of the windows, etc. The making and putting up of signs. Delivering materials. And believe it or not, the dropping off of cones on those motorways is not within the scope of the scheme. Providing services for workers on a construction site is not a construction operation. Neither is the provision of facilities needed for operating the site. Some examples include workers' canteens, workers' hostels, temporary offices for site workers, temporary toilets and showers for workers, medical facilities, safety services and security patrols. Section 2. Now I want to look at examples of construction operations. HMRC has carried out a review of the scope of the construction industry scheme and it has made certain changes which have now been incorporated in the booklet CIS 340. Surprisingly, there was no change in respect of carpet fitting, which because of a previous extra statutory concession has been excluded from the scheme, where there's other flooring is included within the scheme. Making, installation and repair of artistic works that are wholly artistic in nature are excluded from the construction industry scheme. So this will include sculptures, murals and other works which are serving a wholly artistic purpose. However, the exclusion for artistic works does not apply to artistic works that are functional, such as stained glass windows, ornamental gates and balustrades, decorative tiling, decorative paintwork, perhaps gold leaf work or painting on a banister, dado rails, skirting boards, ceiling, rose cornices, architraves, ornamental fountains that may require foundation work, installation of a water supply source and associated pipework, installation of electrical power source for water pumps and or lighting. I mean, the emphasis is that artistic works generally, such as sculptures, murals, would be outside the scheme, but anything that performs a function, such as a water fountain, will be within the scheme. The scope review included a review of building service systems. We're now provided with more clarity on installation, so that the installation of full systems is caught within the construction industry scheme. However, repairs, alterations or extensions to building systems are not caught by the scheme, and part systems are not within the construction industry scheme. Although repairs to building service systems are not caught by the scheme, it has to be emphasised that if a contract for repair includes any making good to the building or structure, then the construction industry scheme will apply to any payment made under that contract. Turning now to cleaning, some cleaning will fall to be included within the construction industry scheme, particularly internal cleaning when carried out during or to complete the construction works. Road sweeping as part of the construction works, such as to prepare for another layer of tarmac. But some cleaning is excluded from the construction industry scheme scope. The external cleaning of buildings and structures is a specific exclusion. Road sweeping after the construction is completed. So this might happen after the house purchasers have moved into their house and the lorries are still going back and forth. Therefore, there's road cleaning to keep the roads clean. The clearance of sewage pipes on completion of construction has now been specifically removed from the scheme, whereas previously it was within the scheme. The cleaning of show houses is outside the scope of the scheme, which is obvious because the show houses have already been constructed. Computer and telephone networks have been removed from the scheme, and they're only caught if they're part of a mixed contract where the work involves construction work. As I usually tell AAT members on the courses, if they're putting in computer and telephone networks into existing ducting, then it's outside the scope of the scheme. But if they have to fit the duct into the wall and then put the network in, then it's going to be caught. Fire protection systems are now within the construction industry scheme, but maintenance and repair to the systems are outside of the scope. The work of a locksmith is outside the scope of the construction industry scheme, unless that work also includes construction operations, which would mean fitting the doors as well as the locks. The erection of fencing may be within the scope of the scheme, as a construction of a structure or construction of any works forming part of the land, or are for rendering complete other construction operations. Fencing is within the scheme if it's erected as part of a wider project of construction to enclose gardens on a newly constructed housing estate. And it's within the scope of the scheme if it's erected as an isolated operation and is a heavy-duty structure where the main supporting posts are installed in a concrete foundation. The erection of fencing will be excluded from the construction industry scheme if the fencing is erected as an isolated operation and it is only a light-duty structure where the supporting posts are simply driven into the ground, which is something I suspect that won't happen very often. Security fencing will not be excluded from the construction industry scheme as a security system. It is a normal feature of a building and its surroundings. It is not accepted as a security system. Therefore, it is not excluded for that purpose. Landscaping work is the type of work that often falls outside the scope of the construction industry scheme, but it can come within its scope. It will come within the scope of the scheme if it's part of the finishing operations. It will come within the scope of the scheme when it's undertaken following demolition work and when it is tree felling for site clearance. Turf laying will come within the scope of the scheme if it is part of the construction works, part of the finishing operation. However, landscaping is excluded from the construction industry scheme when it's routine work not undertaken as part of construction. For example, show house maintenance work. Landscaping will be excluded if it's the construction of a golf course but does not include the construction of the clubhouse and is not part of the construction of any buildings. Another thing that's looked at by the HMRC as part of the scope review was the manufacture and delivery. The delivery of ready-mix concrete to site is outside the scope of the scheme. And it's now been clarified that that includes using any pipework to deliver the mix, but it would not be excluded from the scheme if it involved laying the concrete mix as well. Also, if another subcontractor provides the pumps to move the wet mix around the site, then that work would fall within the scheme. Painting and decorating was also part of the review, and the repair and restoration work that's carried out off-site will be outside the scope of the scheme. The removal, dismantling, and replacement would be within the scope of the scheme. Painting or decorating the internal or external surfaces of any building or structure is within the construction industry scheme. And painting is defined as the application of a decorative or protective film to a surface, so that within the scope of the scheme, we're going to have paint application, including gilding or gold leaf work to the building or structure. Also included will be varnishing, French polishing of fixed furniture or woodwork, and certain types of damp-proofing treatments and for sealing masonry. What will be excluded from the construction industry scheme in terms of painting and decorating would actually be pesticide spraying, including the insecticidal or pesticidal wood treatment, and off-site French polishing. Any off-site work of restoration or repair should also be excluded from the scheme. Next, I'm going to look at plant hire. Payments for the hire of plant without an operator are outside the scope of the scheme. However, payments for hire of plant with an operator are subject to the construction industry scheme, and therefore deduction should be made as appropriate. The cost of the plant hire and any consumable items such as fuel needed for its operation may be treated as materials for the purposes of calculating any deduction on account of tax. But this treatment only extends to plant and equipment actually hired by the subcontractor from a third party. If the subcontractor owns the plant, then there can be no notional deduction for plant hire made when completing the construction industry scheme returns. Consumable items such as fuel will be treated as materials. Also, as part of the scope, there's clarification on plant hire. The clarification is that hire purchase is not plant hire. Hire purchase of plant is not therefore deductible as materials. Also within the field of plant hire, we have a special situation regarding tugs, barges, and other vessels. When they're used in the course of constructing docks, marinas, and offshore installations, these are viewed as construction plant. If, as is generally the case, the vessel is provided with a crew that carries out the operations, this then represents the hire of plant with an operator and is subject to the construction industry scheme. If, however, the vessel is merely hired with the contractor providing their own crew, This would represent plant hire and would not be subject to the construction industry scheme. Next, section 3, I want to look specifically at professional work, which does cause some problems for AAT members at times. The first thing to say is that we cannot assume that all professional work is excluded from the construction industry scheme. Advisory work and consultancy advice is normally excluded as professional work. However, managing the construction and doing technical work may be included within the scope of the construction industry scheme, as will an architect who is also acting as a developer. Professionals whose work involves project management or supervision other than architects and surveyors, site foremen, clerks of works engaged in a supervisory capacity will all be included within the scheme. Employed foremen, clerks of works are outside the scope of the scheme. And of course, as employees, any employee indeed is outside the scope of the construction industry scheme. The following work is excluded from the construction industry scheme: the professional work of architects or surveyors or of consultants in building, engineering, interior or exterior decoration, or the laying out of landscape. But we must note that this exclusion does not apply to all professionals involved in all construction projects on a self-employed basis. It applies to surveyors and architects, even though their professional disciplines do or may include supervisory or executive functional responsibility. The work of architects or surveyors, if done within their normal professional discipline, is excluded in all circumstances from the construction industry scheme. It will only apply to other professionals whose services are consultative, not executive, standing apart from the execution of construction work or its management. Other professionals are consultants if they supply technical advice, assessments, plans or designs, but are not involved in the day-to-day execution or oversight of a construction project. A consultant engineer, interior decorator or draftsman providing a design are regarded as consultants, as they are not in the chain of command running from the contractor to the worker. They provide designs. They provide designs, advice or recommendations that are acted upon by others who are accountable to the main contractor. Therefore, their work is excluded from the scheme. The exclusion covers traditional functions of surveying land and inspecting properties. It extends to subcontractors performing specialised functions such as soil testing, industrial radiography, non-destructive testing, welding inspection, environmental testing, and pipeline inspection, where this may involve, for example, robot vehicles known as pigs. However, if the survey goes beyond inspection to include carrying out any remedial work, the exclusion from CIS will no longer apply. So, for example, if a robot surveys the pipeline internally and at the same time makes good any defective joints, that would be within the scope of the scheme. If a surveyor engages labour on subcontract terms to carry out work, such as digging an inspection trench for the survey or boring for soil samples, then that work is treated as part of the professional work and is not subject to the operation of the construction industry scheme. Next, I want to look at construction operations and the disputes that arise and what AAT members might do or advise their clients to do. Firstly, let me deal with the issue of mixed contracts. HMRC guidance on this is very specific. If there is a single contract that covers both construction operations and non-construction work, then HMRC requires that we treat the whole of the contract as being within the construction industry scheme. HMRC insists that we must do this even if separate invoices are issued for the different types of work. So let's be clear, a single contract for construction and non-construction operations means that everything is within the scheme. In other words, one in, all in. Separate contracts should therefore be considered, not just separate invoices. I'm often telling AAT members on the courses that we must realise that some main contractors will not agree to this. I have clients who will insist that if a supplier wants to provide work and services to their business, they're going to be on one ledger, the subcontract ledger or the purchase ledger. They can't be on both. Therefore, there must be one contract for all the work. And if they don't have gross payment status, they have to suffer the problem of tax deductions. Moving on and looking now at the issue of disputes. The first question to ask is, does the supplier or subcontractor object to a tax deduction being made? I think without doubt, if the supplier or subcontractor has gross payment status, there'll be no issue because there'll be no tax deduction. If there is an objection from the supplier or subcontractor, does that supplier or subcontractor insist that the work they do is outside the scope of the construction industry scheme? If that is the case, we have to look at the work and determine whether or not it is within the scheme. The next question is, does the supplier or subcontractor refuse to register for the construction industry scheme? We know that it's not difficult to do that, and by registering for the construction industry scheme, the supplier or subcontractor will at worst suffer a deduction of 20%, the standard rate of deduction from payments made. If the supplier or subcontractor refuses to register and we consider the work is within the scope of the scheme, then they will have to suffer a 30% deduction. We must always remember that our contractor clients are the ones that are potentially liable for failing to operate the scheme correctly and or failing to make construction industry scheme deductions. We must remember that where this tax deduction scheme operates, our contractor clients may end up footing the bill for the deductions they haven't made. And it's also important that we should remember that the subcontractor will be able to claim the tax deducted back by either set off or by repayment, so the money is not lost. Contractors have to make a deduction from the non-materials element of the invoice if there's any doubt as to whether the work is inside or outside the scope of the construction industry scheme. If a subcontractor changes from gross payment to standard rate deduction, it will be important that the invoices they provide will set out a breakdown between the amount that relates to materials and the amount that relates to labour. I will always advise that contractors should not accept copies of HMRC letters which have been issued to subcontractors, perhaps years ago, telling them that their work is outside the scope of the scheme. If there is doubt as to whether the work is inside or outside the scope of the scheme, it should be clarified with HMRC. I would keep a copy of any letter that has been relied upon if deductions have not been made. There are no procedures in existence for resolving a dispute between the contractor and HMRC. However, HMRC will issue a Regulation 13 determination on the tax that has not been deducted, and that gives the contractor the right to appeal against the determination. But the best advice has to be that HMRC guidance should be sought, initially checking the CIS 340 booklet and or going to the website and looking at the CIS reform manual. We do have the option of calling the Construction Industry Scheme helpline on 0845 366 7899. And if we get a decision from the helpline, it is very important that we make a note of the date and time of the call, the person spoken to, and the decision that was given. In reality, most disputes are easily resolved, but some are more difficult. If we're approaching HMRC, we will need precise details of the work to be carried out, and perhaps this needs to be sent to HMRC in writing, and if we do that, keep copies. HMRC may well ask for a copy of the contract for the work. HMRC guidance indicates that the contractor's processing office should be the one responsible for the final decision on any dispute. They, of course, may seek higher technical advice from the Construction Industry Scheme Head Office Unit. So, Section 5, and in summary, Many AAT members either work in the construction industry or advise contractors or subcontractors and indeed other businesses that may do work that falls within the scope of the construction industry scheme. The construction industry scheme is a tax deduction scheme, and any failure to operate the scheme and to deduct 20% standard rate or 30% higher rate construction industry scheme tax deductions will lead to problems and may lead to HMRC seeking to recover the tax not deducted from the contractor who failed to make that deduction. In a separate podcast, I've discussed the changes to the construction industry scheme penalty regime, pointing out that many clients have failed to operate the scheme out of ignorance of the fact that their work came within the scope of the scheme. Some individuals and businesses have incurred large fixed penalties because they were unaware that their work was within the scheme. It is important, therefore, to realise what type of work is within the scope of the scheme, and I hope that this podcast, with the examples I've provided, will give you some help on that. Please remember that there is the HMRC booklet CIS 340 and its website, and in particular the CIS Reform Manual, where you can obtain more help. You can also call the HMRC CIS helpline on 0845 366 7899. I hope that this podcast will have added to your knowledge today and will help you in the future. Thank you very much.